on more than 2 million foals for a low annual cost, then Brisnet's American Produce Records is for you. Updated in real time and available on demand at brisnet.com/APR and optimized for tablet and mobile, the APR Online is the place for instant access to a wealth of information on North American thoroughbreds dating back more than a century. The annual price, $275. Visit brisnet.com/APR and discover why American Produce Records has been the choice of bloodstock and racing professionals for generations and why a new generation is using APR Online.
Well, Creative Cause defeated every horse he ever ran against. Now, to put it another way, he never saw a horse he couldn't beat. And he competed against some pretty high-class stakes winners, horses like Bodemeister and Union Rags, I'll Have Another, Paintner, Hanson, Doolahan, Take Charge Indy, Gemologist. He won grade one stakes as a two-year-old, came back to win graded stakes again at three, placed in the Classic Preakness, and he earned over $1 million. Creative Cause is by Giant's Causeway, three times the nation's leading sire, and he was the leading juvenile sire just last year. And he's out of the grade one stakes winner and grade one producer Dream of Summer, winner of more than $1,191,000. It's a $1 million pedigree. Creative Cause won grade one stakes and over $1 million. His sire won grade one stakes and over $1 million. His dam won grade one stakes and over $1 million. The first foals by Creative Cause are yearlings. They're dynamite. You're going to love them at the sales. He stands for 15,000 live foal of Mr. and Mrs. Brereton. She owns Airdrie Stud. See the website at airdriestud.com. And remember, the Airdrie Stallions are your key to racing profit.
Horse Tales with Ursula Ellis from the horse capital of the world, Bluegrass Country. Horse Tales is all about the horses, the people, and the history of the thoroughbred industry. Now here's your host, Ursula Ellis.
Good morning, everyone, and we are here, as usual, in the clocker stand at the Thoroughbred Center. Beautiful day, kind of a busy day, clocking horses here. I didn't have to. Had all kinds of people up here to clock. Got a house full right now here. Jackie's here. I'm here. Michael Bowen's here. Mark Maloney is here. He's from over at Summer Wind Farm. We're going to get him on here in just a few minutes. Matt Howard's here. So is Dutcher. How you doing over there, Dutcher? Good, he says. And Ressie, of course, is here. And then four or five people. They're still working horses this morning. My gosh. It's time to hang up your tack, isn't it?
Beautiful morning for it.
Yeah, well, it is. It's a nice, cool morning. And, you know, it's I tell you what, we've been knocking them dead out of here. Since last week's show, now 7 days of racing, we've had 17 winners from this place.
Holy cow.
17 winners in 7 days, and they have won at six different tracks. They've won at Indiana Downs, at Mountaineer, at Belterra, at Churchill Downs, at Presque Isle, and we even won a steeplechase out at the High Hope.
Oh, that's great.
And don't laugh. Right. It was a $20,000.
I'm not laughing. I think it's great.
It's a $20,000 pot, you know. That's a whole lot more than I used to pay down the river.
They're going to have a steeplechase at Kentucky Downs this year.
Oh, yeah. I understand they're going to do that.
Well, I love steeplechase.
That's that track's kind of built for it. Mm-hmm. You know, all they have to do is haul something out for them to jump. You know, it's...
We're having old friends at Kentucky Downs, too.
An old friend's day?
No, old friends. We're going to have retired horses at the racetrack.
Oh, yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. Eight horses. Isn't that what it says?
We're going to start with six and see what happens.
Oh, okay. Well, I didn't send them four. My old retired
horses. We have to make sure the door's shut when we get in.
Yeah, exactly right. I've been taking care of those damn things. I don't know how long.
Now, be nice.
Well.
Stop that.
Picked up this little horse down at River Downs. 10 years ago, and he was 8 years old at the time. Oh, he was a stud at the time. I changed his mind about that real quick. And he didn't think so when he got there, I'll tell you that. Anyway, we got him because he broke down, and we had to keep him in a stall for close to 3 months before we could ever turn him out. And but he came out of it, you know. He's still got an ankle, you know, big around as a basketball, just about. But he gets around real good now.
There you go.
But he's an ungrateful little son of a gun, you know. I mean, he's never warmed up to us at all. I don't know what it's all about. Only time he can come around, if you flash a peppermint at him, he'll come over. But otherwise, sometimes you can't catch him. And that's no fun, fooling around with an old gilding like that, you know.
That keeps you in shape.
Well, I need all the help.
It's a quality of life issue. He's improved your quality of life. What else will you be talking about?
Well, I'd talk about a couple of others that I ran. At least they won for me, you know. But all right. Well, let me give you the trainers of those winners. Now, this is just since last week's show. Jesse Caudle, Don Combs. Don won one with something that he bred, owns, and trains. Named Daddy's Profits, the name of it. I hope he's making one. Jimmy Cargan won one. Hill Parker. Oh, Hill gets his share. Mike Estes, he won over Churchill. Dez Fogarty. Now, Dez is one of one at High Hope. He didn't ride him himself, though. He used to be a steeplechase jockey. But Jim Rankin from good old Bourbon County boy. Tommy Short's been ripping and roaring. He's won 1, 2, 3, 4 races in the last 4 days. So he's been doing really good. He won 2 down at Mountaineer. Then Marco Castaneda. Dale Loveland won 1 at Presque Isle. Tommy Short won another one at Mountaineer. Maria Pinzon, she was up here on the stand just a while ago. And Tommy Short won another one at Mountaineer. Pavel Matejka won 1 at Belterra. Anthony Hamilton Jr. at Belterra. And then Bobby Sturgeon won 1 at Churchill Downs. What's today? 23rd on Friday, the 21st. And as I said, they won at Indiana, Mountaineer, Belterra, Churchill Downs, High Hope, and at Presque Isle. At 6 different tracks. You can come off this track here and win anywhere. If you've got any kind of a horse at all, you know, which you got to have some ammunition, you know. But
it's fabulous.
I usually fire blanks.
Well.
Well, we're going to have Mark on here in a few minutes. Dr. Waldridge will be over. He's got a horse in training here now. He gets scarce around here, Michael. Steve Moody, we're going to the Louisville Handicap is a feature down at Churchill today. We're going to get Steve on and doing a second hour. Let's see, only one grade one stakes over the weekend, and that's Monday. They're running the Gamely. So if I have time during the second hour, I want to talk about Gamely. You remember Gamely?
No.
You don't remember Gamely?
No.
Well, you're the
Grandpa.
You're a newcomer. She was a bull ruler.
I'm going to start calling them Gramps.
W.H. Perry bred her. She was a bull ruler mare. Really a fine race mare. And she was didn't race at 2, but she was a champion at the 3, 4, and 5. So she was a goodie. And then I've been trying to talk about Extra Heat. And who was elected to the Hall of Fame? Do you remember Extra Heat?
I certainly do. Yes. I have a great Extra Heat story.
Do you? Well, tell it. But you know who bred her, don't you?
Yeah.
Pope McLean.
I know. It's great.
Family. Yeah.
And I think it's wonderful she's going in the Hall of Fame. But we had a rider that used to ride for me up at Suffolk Downs named Harry Vega.
Uh-huh.
And Extra Heat's regular jockey was injured. And they put Harry on. And they said, well, as soon as he gets back, you're going to get off and you're going to put him back. And Harry said, that's great. But Harry got to ride that horse for a year.
Is that right?
And I saw him win a big race at Keeneland, easy as pie. And after the race, I went over to him. I said, Harry, what's it like going around once at Keeneland and making more money than you can in 2 years at Rockingham Park? Which is pretty. I love that horse. She was fast.
She was fast. She was dead game, too.
Yep.
Yeah. And you know, she was a pretty good producer. Yeah, they bought her as a broodmare. I've got a produce record, but I'm going to talk about that. I'm going to try to get around to her during the second hour. And let's see what else we got going on for us.
Can I tell a story about the Preakness while you're looking at whatever you're looking at over there?
Yeah, go ahead.
All right.
First liar of the day. Go ahead.
So after the race, all the other horses are coming back with their heads between their legs. Of course, they're all wet. And, you know, the weather was perfect up until the race and perfect after the race, but during the race it was obviously a mess.
Did you have an umbrella or anything?
Umbrella. I had a front row seat in the dining room with free food and free beer and free everything, and a guy gave me $300 for old friends. And I hit the triple in the Preakness. What's wrong with this trip? I didn't have to pay for anything. And neither did old friends.
So what else is new?
That was great. I moved, but the food's tasting better, and the beer, the quality of the beer is better, too. But after the race, Bob invited people to come back to the barn and see the horse. And most of the other trainers had security up and everything else. Not Bob. Little kids feeding them hay and, you know, having a great old time. And it was just like a big, big party. And at the end of it, he held a kind of an impromptu press conference, and everybody knew at that point that American Pharoah was definitely going to be pointing for the Belmont. But some wise guy in the press asked Bob, where's this horse going next? And he goes, well, you know, I'm really glad you asked that question because, you know, Mr. Zayat and I had a really heart-to-heart talk this morning. And we talked about how valuable this horse was to us and how much money he earned, how much he'd done for us. So we've just decided to retire him to Old Friends. I think one guy didn't laugh. He thought he was serious. Todd Schrupp thought it was funny.
Yeah.
But that was really, really nice. And then he came back and he goes, the other quote, I'm putting this up on the barn, actually. I'm getting a sign made on the barn quoting Bob, Hall of Fame trainer Bob Baffert, okay? Yeah. And the quote is, donate money to Old Friends. It's not a scam.
Yeah, reckon he would know one if he saw it.
Yeah, I think he might. But it was great fun, and he's just a great guy, and he's been wonderful to us, and I'm very grateful.
Yeah. All right, let me take a break here, and then I'm going to get Mark on.
All right.
Yeah.
This sounds like a good idea. Somebody will they'll finally get some good information on this program.
Well, there you go. Well, Blame is the sire of two graded stakes winners, five graded stakes horses, in his first crop to race. Both of his graded stakes winners have won graded stakes in New York. The three that have placed in graded stakes have done so at Churchill Downs, Del Mar, and Woodbine. Five graded runners in his first crop, all five at major tracks. Eclipse Award winner Blame, winner of the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Classic, and six other stakes, five graded, among them the Grade 1 Whitney and the Grade 1 Stephen Foster, earned over $4,368,000. And he's by Arch, from a sire line noted for classic stamina. Arch has sired 12 Grade 1 winners, four champions, and is climbing the broodmare sire list. His daughters have already produced 22 stakes winners, three champions, plus a winner of the Kentucky Derby. Both Eclipse Award winner Blame and his sire Arch stand at Claiborne Farm. For more on the Claiborne Stallions, call Bernie Sams at 859-233-4252. Take a look at the website, claibornefarm.com.
It's a comforting feeling to do business with people you trust, especially when it comes to insurance. When we moved to Bourbon County, friends recommended the Hopewell Company. That was 26 or 27 years ago. Whew. And they've been taking care of our insurance needs ever since. Hopewell Company has extensive experience working with horse farms and racing stables. Now, you're talking about Joe and Ted McLean. And Ted worked with Lucian Lauren when Secretariat was there. Ah.
Yep.
Also, Hopewell covers our home, barn, vehicles, horse trailer, liability coverage, and they've been right there whenever we needed them, as I always say, when we got struck by lightning and fried the wires in the house. They were there that afternoon and hot wired so we'd have heat and all that stuff. It was February. And the next day they were busy rewiring. So Hopewell Company is an independent insurance agency. They work for us, not the insurance company. That way we get the best coverage and the best competitive prices from financially sound, reputable insurers. Contact Hopewell Company. They'll provide you with a no-cost, no-obligation review and comparison of your insurance. The Hopewell Company, 820 South Main Street in Paris, 987-2347, or in Lexington, 254-2431. You'll get great service. Ursel guarantees it.
Well, I guarantee you, if you do business with the Clay Ward Agency in Indian Creek, it's a couple of more fine organizations down in Paris, Kentucky, in Bourbon County. You'll be happy with them, too. The Clay Ward Agency was founded some 84 years ago, back in 1931. That was 20 Grands Derby by Mr. James Clay Ward. And they've been providing the best in equine insurance for, like I said, 84 years now. Their success was based on hard work, dedication, and attention to detail, great service, and a thorough knowledge of the horse business. And those qualities are carried on today by the pros over that at Clay Ward Agents. So whatever your insurance needs, if it pertains to the thoroughbred, they're the people you want to do business with. The Clay Ward Agency, in their position to supply the best coverage at the best price available. Give them a call. I'll give you that number here in a second. Just ask for Shaq Parrish or Bruce Isaacs or John Hess. The number over there is 987-1861, 859, of course. Or you can stop by the office at 111, try that again, at 1102 Main Street in Paris. right next to the funeral home there on Main Street. And so ask about the services available also with Indian Creek, which is closely affiliated with the Clay Ward Agency, and they've raised so many stakes winners over there, you can't keep count. Raising both here and abroad, they've, I think it's some raised something like five champions over there. Indian Creek has sold also many of the world's finest thoroughbreds in addition to raising them, and they've, I would suggest that you talk to them about selling for you. They do a great job. Also, it's a wonderful place to board your horses. They've got top flight horsemen. And here's their telephone number. It's a 859 number, 987-7443. Or go to the website. That's IndianCreekKY.com. All right, I've got Mark Maloney with me this morning, and they've got a pretty good mare over at Summer Wind Farm. If you don't know where Summer Wind Farm is, it's right across from...
They've got a lot of good mares at Summer Wind Farm.
Well, I know they do, but I'm talking about one in particular. That happened to be Michael Blowen talking there. I mean, if you can get, Mark, if we can get a word in edgewise here over Michael, we'll be lucky. But anyway, they've got the Dam of American Pharaoh there. Bought her last fall, isn't that right, Mark?
Yeah, bought her at Fezzik Tipton last fall.
Carrying what?
Full brother to American Pharaoh.
How is he?
Pioneered the Nile colt. He's nice, yeah. Big, strong colt, flashy, nice colt, yeah.
Is he named already?
Yeah, he's called Irish Pharaoh.
Irish Pharaoh. Yeah, I made a comment here. I never heard of an Irish Pharaoh, but...
I never heard of an American Pharaoh.
Not me either.
Well, there you go. It makes it interesting.
Well, you can go on from there. The next one will be Scots, I guess.
There's going to be a lot of Pharaoh horses coming up. You're going to have more Pharaoh horses than kitten horses pretty soon.
Yeah. Well, that's great. So he's a good colt, huh?
Yeah, yeah, nice colt. Very straightforward, no problems. Yeah.
Is he now, is he destined for the sale or destined to race?
You know, primarily it's been a... breed to sell operation, but you know, who knows? I mean, it's a long way to next September, so you know, who knows what happens in between, you know. So we they might race a couple, you know, a year, but
have you bred her back this year?
Yes, yes,
she catch,
yeah, she's in foal on one cover to tap it.
Oh my god,
yeah, so yeah, exciting times,
you know. I'd be afraid to get close to her. You know? Oh, my goodness. You treat her just like the rest of the other mares there, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, you can't wrap them in cotton wool. You got to turn them out and let them be horses.
Hey, that's exactly right.
She's out in the big field with four, five, six other mares and foals.
Yeah. Well, tell me a little bit about Summer Wind. You know, I know you have bought some expensive mares here, put together a pretty good broodmare. How many? What's the size of the broodmare band over there?
We have about 30 broodmares.
Uh-huh.
Give or take a few, you know, mainly, you know, breed to sell, commercial operation. So all the yearlings will go to the sale either at Saratoga or, you know, Keeneland September. And, the intention is to sell them all. And I think last year we sold every. So, okay. You know, I think we sold 20 out of 20. So, yeah. You know,
do you buy any yearlings or anything like that?
No.
Or just mares?
No. Yeah, usually just mares and sell them as yearlings, yeah. You know.
Was that the only mare that you bought last year?
No, we bought another mare called Sweet Lulu.
Sweet Lulu. Tell me about her.
Oh, she was a grade one mare by Mr. Greeley. She won the test at Saratoga.
Mm-hmm.
Jerry Holland offered trained her. Nice pedigree, and she was in foal to Warfront. So.
In foal to Warfront.
Yeah. Got a nice, big, strong colt. Doing good.
Sounds actually, like you're loaded over there.
Well, we got some nice mares, yeah. There's no question.
Well, what are yearlings? What your yearlings to sell by this year?
Oh, there's a mix of everything. From, you know, the factor to
fast horse.
Know, yeah, fast horse. Got a couple of those. Spitestown, Bodemeisters, Tappet, and got one yearling by Frankel.
By Frankel? God almighty. What's he about? I mean, out of.
He's of a mare called India.
So, tell me about her.
She's a homebred mare, actually, that Summerwind raced. Todd Pletcher trained her. She was a grade two winner, you know, grade one placed. She actually won a cotillion, which is a grade one now, and we just decided, you know, by his first year that we'd see if we'd get a season, and you know,
yeah,
got her in and actually got a really nice year. He's really nice. So we sent her over there and they bred her and we sent her back and everything worked out great.
Now, do you all sell, do you have somebody sell as agent or do you sell them in your own name? Or
Lane's End.
Lane's End, Hamilton.
Sell them all, yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But you keep them on the farm and prep them and everything at the farm.
Yeah, yeah, we prep them all there, and yeah.
So they all they do is haul them over and show them, huh?
Yeah,
yeah.
There's a lot goes into it. I mean, it's
I know that. Know, yeah, but there's a lot goes in their pocket too.
Oh, well, it's part of it.
But they wouldn't be doing it.
No.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. No, yeah. Well, you know, it's a great organization, Lane's End, you know. Now, you people don't know where Summer Wind Farm is. It's right on the corner of 62 and the Ironworks Pike, right across from Old Friends. You all have been pretty nice to them over at Old Friends. You want to say something about that, Michael?
Yeah, they've been terrific. Jane and Karen and Mark and Frank have been the best neighbors you could imagine. Everything from donating the proceeds of their book that Karen and Jane wrote about Skip and Go, a book called Skip and Go Home, which is a really, really nice book. And then, you know, even, you know, not this last winter, but the winter before, we ran into some trouble when the feed truck got stuck at the bottom of the hill in the snow. And it was filled with 2 tons of feed or 3 tons, I don't know how many tons of feed. And they sent over their mega tractor to get them out of the snowbank and everything. And, you know, they've loaned us equipment. And anytime I call over there, we have an emergency, they're always there within a few minutes and take care of us. So they're great neighbors, and we're really glad to have them across the street. You know, it's kind of like, you know, they're at the beginning and we're at the end, and there's a lot of stuff in the middle. And it's fun going to the sale and watching Jane and watching everybody, you know, sell these beautiful horses. And they've been very nice to us. In fact, they even donated a little Princess Emma halter to our auction. We raised about $1,000 with that. So, so that was terrific. So we're very, very grateful. If everybody had neighbors like this, you know, everybody would be knocking down the doors to get into this sport.
Well, that's a nice thing for you all to do, to take it, you know. It's a wonder he hadn't sent you a bunch of horses over there, though.
Oh, I think he has over there in the past. There's been some over there. We're watching the guineas here in Ireland.
Oh, you're watching the guineas?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Mark has, and Karen, they have an Olympic champion over there. Yeah, that we got, and then... we didn't have any room for him, and I called up and I said, "You got an extra paddock over there? We can put this horse." And then Karen fell in love with the horse. His name is Carlson Van Dock, and he's still there, right, Mark?
Yeah.
He follows Karen around the farm with no lead rope or anything. He follows him around like a big old dog, and he won the Olympics in Japan.
Actually,
all right, now they're over there watching the guineas. I'm going to take a break here while we're going. Oh, well, April 28th at Aqueduct, IRS Jasper by First Defense won the Bell Harbor Stakes. That same day at Don Donnell by First Defense won the Group 2 Sprint Cup Stakes in Hong Kong. May 4th, the Curra, Tom Belaine by First Defense won the Tetrot Stakes. May 15th, the Pimlico Irish Jasper came back to win the Grade 3 Adena Springs Miss Preakness Stakes. May 16th, the Pimlico Fame and Power by First Defense won the Sir Barton Stakes. Irish Jasper, Tom Belaine, and Fame and Power are 3-year-olds, and 2 others from that crop have placed in stakes so far. Don Donnell is the second millionaire by First Defense, having been preceded by Eclipse Award winner Clothes Hatchets. Well, in an 18-day period, First Defense had 4 stakes winners, and they won 5 stakes. Including 2 graded stakes. He's just doing what was expected of him. And take note of this. The best is yet to come. The quality of mares covered by First Defense since the emergence of Millionaire's Clothes Hatchets and Don Donnell is staggering. First Defense, a Grade 1 winner by Unbridled Song, and a Grade 1 winner, Honest Lady, a half-sister by Seattle Sleuth, the Empire Maker, the Sire Pioneer of the Nile, stands for $10,000 live foal at Judmont Farm. Inquiries to Garrett O'Rourke or Aaron Fry at 859-272-7629 and see the website at judmont.com. Well, Sally Van Service, they've been in business now for well over 60 years, and during that time, they've hauled many of the greatest runners ever to step on a racetrack. And they've learned a lot along the way. You know, it's pretty obvious that their vehicles and equipment are in tip-top condition. As a matter of fact, they build a lot of them themselves, maintain them themselves. They're in great shape. And now also, by the way, they can help you out with your diesels and your equipment also. They can take care of you over there at Sally Horse Vans. But the really most important thing, safety factor, over at Sally Vans when you haul with them is the ability and the experience of the guy that's behind the wheel, and they're extremely proud of their drivers over at Sally Van Service. And they should be, because they're experienced drivers and they're experienced horsemen. And believe me, that's a winning combination. Just think about that the next time you ship your horse. I don't care if it's across the country or across the county. When you load your horse onto a Sally van, you can depend that the person behind the wheel is one of the best in the business. They wouldn't have it any other way at Sally Vans, and that's why now for over six decades, over half a century, that's little a decade over half a century, isn't it? Sally Vans have been the safest way to the winner's circle. Here's a phone number over there, 255-9640, and it's sallyhorsevans.com, S-A-L-L-E-E, horsevans.com.
You know, I remember when you were all upset
when they switched, I remember when you were all upset when they switched to motor cars because they used to haul them around with horses.
Oh, shut up. Isn't that awful? Pioneer the Nile of South America.
New technology.
Yeah. Cut his mic off, will you? Pioneer the Nile, South American Pharaoh. Winner of the Grade 1 $1,500,000 Preakness Stakes stands at Windstar Farm. Distorted Humorous Hour, the winner of the Grade 2 $300,000 Longines Dixie Stakes, Ironicus, stands at Windstar Farm. More Than Ready, Sire Woodwind W, winner of the $100,000 James W. Murphy Stakes, stands at Windstar Farm. All three of those stakes were won last Saturday at Pimlico. American Pharaoh's Preakness win was even more impressive than his win in the Derby, and he'll be odds on to win the Triple Crown. Bred and owned by Zayat Stables, he has already accumulated earnings of over $3,730,000. The Grade 2 Dixie was the first stakes start for Ironicus. He's bred and owned by Stuart S. Janney III. Never out of the money at 3-4. He's one of five runners by champion sire Distorted Humor to win graded stakes this year. Woodwind W is undefeated in four starts. He was bred by Runnymede Farm and Peter Callahan. He won the J.W. Murphy. That was his first start in a stakes race at the direct expense of Force the Pass, a colt by the Windstar Stallion Spitestown that had won the Cutler Bay Stakes at Gulfstream in his previous start. Champion Pioneer of the Nile, the nation's leading third crop sire, champion sire Distorted Humor, and More Than Ready, sire of some 140 stakes winners, 14 grade one winners worldwide at Windstar Farm. For more on the Windstar stands, call Darren Fox, Kyle Wilson, or Sean Tugle at 859-873-1717. See the website at windstarfarm.com. All right, I'm talking to Mark Maloney over here from Summer Wind Farm. Do I detect a little Irish accent there?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I thought so. Well, yeah, well. How long have you been over here?
I've been here 26 years.
26
Born and raised in Ireland.
Okay. What part of Ireland?
Tipperary, in the southern parts.
Okay. Yeah. Well, was your family in the horse business over there?
Not really. I grew up, you know, a lot of horses in Ireland. A lot of people have horses. And, you know, I grew up close to a small breeder and just kind of started out, you know, helping them out. And
did you start riding when you were a kid?
A little bit, not a lot.
Not a lot?
No.
Didn't do any fox hunting?
A little bit, but not much.
Thank you. Yeah. You ever watch the fox hunts over there? I never saw so many Irishmen falling in ditches in my life. Boy, listen, you rode more than a little bit if you fox hunted over there. I'll tell you that right now. So you got started with a neighbor then, kind of?
Yeah, yeah.
Uh-huh. Just fell in love with horses and...
Yeah. Then I went, when I left school, I went to work for Sheikh Mohammed's Darley operation there in Ireland.
Oh, wow. Okay. That's a big-time operation. How long were you with Darley?
4 or 5 years.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And then you came over here, or where'd you go from Darley?
When I came over here, I went to work at Wimbledon Farm, which was run by Robbie Lyons.
Yeah.
And Bobby Spaulding was there at the time. And,
Wimbledon Farm out on Old Richmond Road?
Yeah.
Okay.
Spent a couple of years there on a visa, and then I went to work for Robbie at his own farm after that. So
he said Robbie bought Alf off the south end over there.
Yeah.
Heartland Farm.
Yeah, Hartwell, yeah.
Yeah, Hartwell.
Yeah, over near Keene there.
Yeah, right. I've known Robbie a long time. He's another fox hunter, by the way.
Oh, yeah, big fox hunter.
Yeah.
Good fellow, the Robbie. Yeah. He's good guys.
Yeah. Is that where you got to know Connor?
Yeah, over here we got to know Connor and,
Connor McCarthy, the farrier. Good one, too.
Yep, no question.
Another Irishman.
Oh, yeah. There's a few of them around, all right.
Few? Hell, we got a dozen of them training horses here. More than a few. Well, I'll tell you what, I'm a big fan because you guys move the bar up in horsemanship when you come over here, I think, because most of every time I have an Irishman on here, and I've had enough to, win an election somewhere on the show, they also, I'll ask them about how they got started. Oh, I had a pony when I was 2 years old or something, So they've been hands-on forever.
Yeah.
Well, Robbie raised some good horses over there.
Oh, yeah, for sure, yeah.
Yeah. Nice. Kodiak Cowboy was raised there, I think.
Yeah. That's right.
And among others.
Yeah, he's had some good ones. Those are good jobs.
Did you stay with Robbie for any length of time?
I was there about 12 years.
Were you really?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
And then where'd you go from there?
I went to Summerwind.
Then went to Summerwind. About
14 years ago.
14, just as. You've got some longevity there then.
Yeah, well.
Boy, it must be a nice place to, How many acres they got there?
Summerwind?
Yeah.
That's about 800. Pretty farm, yes. Pretty beautiful place.
Oh, it is a beautiful place, yeah. A lot of frontage on 62 and then all the way up Ironworks.
Ironworks,
going north on Ironworks.
It's a good place.
Yeah. We had Ms. Lines on the show here when she had that book about the skip away.
Yeah.
She was fun to talk to.
Yeah, no.
Didn't she have a lot of pets or something over there?
Oh, yeah, we got all kinds of pets. Everything, anything you want.
Well, I don't want any. I got to take care of Jackie. But what has you got over there? More your pets. I got to hear this.
Cats and dogs, I suppose, and we got a zebra.
And a zebra. Where in the hell did you get a zebra?
They went to a horse show one day, came home with a zebra.
Oh, not many races for that. Maybe they'll write a book, race for you down in Belterra or something for
they
zebras.
They have one at the fairgrounds.
Nine winners of a maiden zebra.
They have one at the fairgrounds every year on opening day.
For zebras?
Yeah.
At the fairgrounds?
Yeah.
Now, many years ago, they used to run quarter horse races down there, right at the first of the year, when for two-year-olds. No, not quarter horses. Two-year-old thoroughbreds they raced, quarter of a mile.
Yeah.
Bunch of depth chargers and green chargers they'd bring up out of those swamps. And I was down there that day. We're going back in, I better not say, the 1950s, let's put it that way. And I was down there. But I tell you, I didn't. How do you treat a zebra? What, do you turn him out by himself?
No, he's out with a couple of donkeys and a cow or steer or whatever, young cow. And
you run cattle there too?
No, just a couple of pets. We got four or five. We got a couple of Scottish Highlands. A couple of pets went to a show and came back with a couple of miniature Scottish Highlands.
Who does that? I bet it's Ms. Lyon.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But no, you don't do too much with this zebra.
No, you don't?
No.
Why, is he ornery?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Yeah, he hadn't had a halter on him in 10 years. He just lives out there in the field.
Is that right? You don't worm him or anything like that?
You can try.
I didn't. I don't want to try.
Well, come on over if you want to try.
No, thank you. No. I've seen them thoroughbreds you couldn't worm back when they used to just tube them, before their face came along. Yeah.
I remember those days.
Yeah, that was the greatest thing ever invented, was that pace. Yeah. Yeah, because you could run into some.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think we had a mare named Matt O'Hara who had been a champion. two-year-old back in 1933, and I don't believe she was ever wormed in her life. She turned Dr. Haggard loose every way but loose.
Yeah.
Hated his guts.
Yeah.
I mean, he come in wearing that white uniform, you know. Uh-uh. You didn't want to get close to her. I didn't want to go in. Otherwise, she was very nice.
Yeah.
But she didn't like Dr. Charlie.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who does your vet work over?
Dr. Pierce does all the, you know, yearling stuff. Dr. Pierce and Dr. Spike. And Dr. Mm-hmm. Feaster does pulp and mares and that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Do y'all ever race anything?
Yeah, a few.
Do you?
Yeah. You know, some that we don't sell or can't get sold or something.
Yeah.
You know, we've had a few stakes winning mares, a few nice ones. India, Misfortune, Kadari, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Actually, Tom Bergen trained a couple of them here for
Tom's a good horse.
A few years ago, and you know, a few.
Yeah, he trains out of here.
I've come over several times and watched when I had him with him. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
he's
just one, a few.
He's another Irishman, you know.
Yeah. Good man.
You know, do you know Jimmy Cargan?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. He's married to Jimmy's twin sister.
Yeah.
A lot
yeah.
of people didn't know that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And,
I told Jimmy that Tom got married the class, you know, in the family. The looks too. Jimmy's he's something else. Oh, this is Mark McAtee's out here,
mm-hmm.
and I can try to think of some of the others. Oh, I think I have a blank now, but there's several other Irish trainers out here.
Oh yeah,
yeah, including one of them just went a race over at High Hope.
That's what you said earlier, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you obviously had a lot of winners.
Dez Fogarty.
In the last week, you've had a lot of winners from here.
This is a good place to train.
Yeah.
You know, you can get a horse ready here.
Sure.
I know they come in from everywhere, you know, and most of them, when they work here, they get a little bit out of it because, you know, this track is deeper. Demands a little bit more mm-hmm. as far as a training track it mm-hmm. goes, you know.
Yeah.
So it's a good track. It's a real good track.
Yeah.
Well, my friend, I'm going to let you go. You know, everybody in the world is going to be pulling for your horse on Belmont State, except those who are running against you.
Yeah, well, it's exciting, so hopefully he can.
Well, I hope so, too. Everybody does.
Yeah, no, it'd be great to see a Triple Crown winner, and it'd be great for everybody. So.
I guess if anybody knew, it'd be Baffert. You know, he's come awful close a couple of times.
Yeah, there's no question. He's a great horse trainer. I mean, it's,
yeah.
He knows how to get him ready.
Yeah, he does. You going up?
Yes, probably, yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
good.
Probably will.
Well,
yeah.
I'll look for you in the winter circle.
Yeah, well, I don't know about that, but we'll be there cheering him on.
Okay. Well, listen, Mark, thank you for coming in. I really
You're welcome.
I
Thanks
really
for
appreciate
having
it. Me. I'm going to come over someday and look around.
Yeah, anytime you want to.
Oh, that sounds good. That sounds good. All right, my friend. Thank you so much.
You can come play soccer with us at noon.
Pardon?
You can come play soccer at noon today.
I'll pass on the soccer.
We'll have a soccer game.
No, you need to go. Yeah, if you've never been to Summerwind, you need to go because I've actually been over there to the owner's house because they have the little derby parties. You know, when the late Robert Gentry is alive, we went over there after the derby. Phenomenal. Although the spinning lion got me at first when I walked in the basement. He's a big avid hunter, which I love because I'm a hunter. And
yeah.
He's got his, it's everywhere, his game. I was like,
oh
that, I loved it. Oh man, it was nice.
Yeah.
So everything.
It's Matt Howard talking. People just walk in here and start talking.
Yeah. That's great, huh?
So, yeah.
Well, they allow you to
What are you going
to
do? Oh, we got to get Doc on here. He might have some work to do. Yeah. All right. Well, let me take a break here. And then we're going to get Dr. Walridge on, who does our vet segment every week. May 14th at Churchill Downs, Fleet Encounter. The mare by Indadab sprinted 5 furlongs and on the grass, 57 flat, taking allowance optional claiming race. She didn't run for the tag. That was her 13th win. She's earned $244,153, and she is one of some 15 individuals by Indadab to earn $100,000 or more. Others include the multiple graded stakes winner. He also set a new track record at Churchill. Greater Good, he earned over $546,000. Head, Heart, Hoof, a graded stakes winner in New York, where he's also set a new track record, going 5.5 furlongs, where earnings are more than $519,000. Dad Nabbit, I like that name, Dad Nabbit, is a multiple stakes winner at Monmouth Park. earned over $282,000. Lauren Ted Ice, a multiple stakes winner in New York, earned over $236,000. And there are more, but you get the picture. Indadab is sighing runners for the modest fee of $2,000 live fold. Stands at Shadwell Farm, inquiries to stallion manager Ken Barnes, 859-224-4585, and see the website at shadwellfarm.com. Where'd Michael Blowen go? Michael left? Well, here's another one of his, those that donate to him, Quill and Tack. Quill and Leather and Tack, the nation's largest custom halter shop. They ship right at 2,000, 20,000 halters a year, ship them out worldwide, and that's just the ones that they ship out. God only knows how many they make for around here. And they also do a great repair job over there, too, because that's where I take mine. I'm too cheap to buy new ones. They just keep building them back for me. You do get that done for about a third the price, I found out. And I shouldn't bring that up because Ralph will be all over me. That's Ralph Quillen, who operates Quillen Leather and Tack, and has been doing it for a long time now. I forget how many years. But if it pertains to leather, they've got it there. Also, other things, you know, if you need a new twitch, hickory twist, they've got those. Just everything that you need. They've got a great gift shop there. You can get your belts for people and collars for dogs or vice versa. And just everything that you need at the tack shop. I always do a little Christmas shopping there every year. They've got stuff even there for kids. And I know Dutcher over here. Is he asleep over there? Playing games, okay. Bought him a couple of books over there that he liked. And but it's a great tack shop, fun place to go into and look around. So I would suggest you go in. It's in Paris, Kentucky. If you're driving in from the Lexington area, you go to the third stoplight and look on your left, and there it is. Can't miss it. And after you've had the stopped in there and looked around, go on downtown Paris. Just stay on Main Street. And Ralph's establishment down there, where they sell all kinds of different kinds of beers. And what'd you say, Jackie?
What? No.
Anyway, it's they make their own beer down there, and they sell all different kinds of beers. You can't Rooster Brewery.
Yes. Yeah, they have big nights on Friday night.
They have a big night on Friday night.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's...
probably Saturday, too. But
Yeah, but he always advertises it online for Friday. So, they don't say anything about Saturday. But yeah. It's open, of course. Everybody has a great time. It's a wonderful place. It's a big success. I know he was on Facebook talking about they're brewing their own stuff. Rooster Brew is the real thing.
Yeah.
So that's great.
Yeah, that's good. You got all kinds of beer in there. So go on down. You can go in, you have a nice time. You see somebody in there, you know that's Quillen. Two nice establishments over in Paris, the Quillen Leather and Tack and Rooster Brewery. Well, May 15th, Pimlico, the Grade 3 DuPont Distaff Stakes was won by Stop Charge and Maria, a 4-year-old filly by Taylor the Cat. May 16th at Monmouth. Grade 3 Red Bank Stakes went to Winning Cause, a 5-year-old horse by Giants Causeway. That same day at Belmont, Celestine, a 3-year-old filly by Scat Daddy, won the Wait a While Stakes. Stop Charge to Maria has won 6 graded stakes, including 2 filly classics, the Grade 1 Alabama and the Grade 1 CCA Oaks. Bred by Harvey Clark in Brookdale and sold at the OBS March sale for $220,000. She has now earned $1,654,000. Winning Cause has won 4 stakes, 3 graded, and earned over $642,000. He was bred by Galleria Bloodstock, sold for $200,000 at a sales. And the Wait a While is a second straight stakes win for Celestine, a $100,000 graduate of the Keeneland September sales. Bred by Phoenix Rising Farms. She went into the Wait a Bit off a win in Gulfstream's Sanibel Island Stakes on March 29. Every stallion. Standing at Ashford Stud with foals to race a full season, and sired a 2015 graded stakes winner. That would be Fusi Ichi Pegasus, Giants Causeway, Looking at Lucky, Majestic Warrior, Munnings, and Scat Daddy, and Taylor the Cat. So, also, incidentally, on Thursday at Belmont, Uncle Vinny, a 2-year-old colt from the first crop by Uncle Mo, won first time out, going 4.5 lengths in the maiden special. And he's the second winner from the first crop by Uncle Mo. The first was Outwork. He won his very first start. He was his first starter, too, at Keeneland, and his debut by 2.5 lengths. I know that Dr. Doug Beyer and told me at one time, and whatever he told me, I took as gospel, that Uncle Mo, to compete as he did, as well as he did with his problems that he had as a three-year-old, had to be a super horse. So you didn't take that to the bank, and it looks like if you're breeding to a, if you own an Uncle Mo, you can take that to the bank too. I think it. Anyway, to compete at the highest level, take a look at the studs over at Ashford Stud. It's 859-873-7088, and see the website at coolmore.com. All right, well, Dr. Walridge has trained his horse over here. Now, how'd you run the other day, or should I brought that up?
She ran really good. It took seven horses to beat her.
In an eight-horse field?
Well, there was 10. One flipped over twice in the paddock.
Oh, my God.
For that, some reason, it got two tries at it and finally scratched on the second.
Is that right?
And so... But it was a tough field. I mean, you look at that.
They wouldn't have scratched it a few years ago, River Dance.
Hey, it was still breathing. I guess they put roller skates on it.
Exactly.
I mean, that was all that was left to do.
Yeah.
Luckily, the horse got up after a while and walked back.
Shoo.
It was pretty scary because that, you know, that paddock's about the size of two stalls. And so, once
yeah,
you
it is.
There, it is small, isn't it? Yeah, it was always cramped in there.
Yeah.
It looked really small with that horse.
Is it smaller now? Have they changed it?
No, I think it's still the same.
Still the same paddock.
They made it smaller. It's pretty
little. I'm going to We got Jack and I going to get down there. We were going to go on Decoration Day or it's a holiday, but, you know, you never get across that bridge, you know, for the traffic.
It was beautiful. I mean, it's set up nice, but other than that paddock, it's kind of pretty scary.
Yeah.
What's the barn like? What's the receiving barn like?
It's okay. It had what you needed. There were no TVs or anything, which I thought was a little strange.
That is odd.
Didn't really follow the
Is it a new barn?
They looked really new.
Oh, okay. The other ones were a anthropologist's dream. I mean, whew, they were ancient. They'd get flooded, and they'd just keep on using them. You know,
no TVs, though, huh?
No TVs. So it was kind of strange. You felt kind of detached from what was going on, really.
Yeah. Are you the farthest barn away from the grandstand and stuff?
Where the receiving barn was.
The receiving barn, yeah.
I don't like those enclosed barns they got down there.
Well, they're all different now. I think they got all
different
barns. That's what I'm saying.
It's pretty. The doorways were pretty narrow. And then the
they got all new barns.
It looked new to me, but
are they new?
They said they're new. I'm sure.
Well, that's
fell
the one
down.
That said they had no eaves on them.
Right,
the,
right.
Well, the wind can blow. You know, right, the rain can blow in.
There's
there.
Almost no overhang. Yeah, I guess that's
no shed rows. In other words,
right? There's no walking around in a shed row at all.
So I guess supposed to cool out on your way back
from the casino.
Yeah. Exactly.
Or swim them in the river, I guess. We were looking out at the river.
Yeah, that river. You know what, though? That was always the prettiest wind picture because they shot it looking at the river and then the hills in Kentucky, and it were pretty wind pictures.
Yeah, they were.
Yeah.
Unless you had a run
turfway, you got to look at three old
deer
drunks.
Or something, you'd have a big sign up there. Budweiser.
Turfway, you got three old drunks and then a parking space looking thing. And
you
then
remember when we run one of those races down there with Whoosh and some bar from Akron had sponsored the race and about 20 people came down. They all came into the winner's circle. I don't think any, I think they had partaken pretty good. I don't know how they got down there. But I think Jackie and I were the only sober ones in the winner's circle. I'm not even sure about the groom.
Yeah, but there's a jockey in the groom, too.
Oh, well.
They ride better like that.
Well, let's get down to your vet segment. What did you?
Yeah, bless your heart. You've been here for a while. What were you going to talk about today?
Well, thought we'd talk about rhodococcus. Since the foals are getting old enough, start seeing rhodococcus pneumonia and starting to see some, getting dry weather and all, which studies shown that weather really doesn't impact it, but it sure seems like you see more rhodococcus when it's hot and dusty.
Is that right?
Because it's shedding the mares' manure. There's studies done in Kentucky where they followed mares. They and I can't remember the exact time points, but they sampled their manure twice before they foaled. I think it was 2 weeks intervals, like 2 weeks before the mare foaled, a month before she foaled, 2 weeks after she foaled. And they found that all the mares they sampled at some point in there had passed rotococcus in their manure, and I think it was about 2/3, if I remember that right, passed it at every time point. So when they pass that manure and gets dry, it gets in there, that's where the foals can pick it up.
Yeah. Huh.
But they have shown they pick it up early in life, but it takes a while for them to show the signs.
Yeah. Of the pneumonia. What other signs?
But I just, like in Australia, they call it rattles, which I think is kind of a good one. You know, sometimes they just have that, looks like any other pneumonia they get.
Yeah.
They have a little bit of crud in their nose and make a little noise and cough, but you can see bone infections.
Wow.
About a third of them that you take to necropsy have abscesses in their abdomen, their lymph nodes in their abdomen. And sometimes when you scan those foals, ultrasound, look at their lungs, we usually kind of look around the abdomen and you can find some enlarged lymph nodes. And sometimes you see a foal just has a giant lymph node in the abdomen and the lungs are pretty clear. So I think here in Kentucky, for sure, rotococcus can do whatever it wants to do.
Yeah.
Occasionally,
how do you treat it?
Well, we have some pretty good antibiotics. Most people use either azithromycin or clarithromycin, which are they're human. Like the Z-Pak is azithromycin that people take.
Yeah.
So they do a pretty good job of cleaning those up.
Z-Pak.
Yes, sir. Yeah. But we're finding, too, there's some new studies done in Florida. Well, it was in Texas, too. They're showing that we're starting to see some resistance to those antibiotics. And the bad thing is we don't have a whole lot of other antibiotics that work as well because what that bacteria lives inside the cells that would normally go in there and eat bacteria and clean up infections. So you have to have antibiotics that really get inside those cells because you can't kill them unless if they're free, you can kill those bacteria. But when they're in the cell, you can't kill them as well.
Yeah.
So it's something we got to watch. You know,
you run across much of it this year so far?
I haven't heard much about it. You know, the usual amount you'd see. Not a big year yet, but
normal
amounts.
Yeah.
But some years you really saw it.
Yeah. Jackie, what'd you want to? You had something you were going to ask?
Yeah, I saw this thing on Facebook, and it said fact or fiction about horses working in the heat, and it says there are several of them, and whether it's true or false. This one says, never let a hot horse drink all they want or drink cold water. Consequences are said to range from colic to founder. This article says that's false. Needs to drink as much as desired as soon as possible. And if you restrict intake, they'll lose some of the drive to drink and will drink less all over. Do you agree?
I'd agree with that.
Yeah.
You hear a lot about horses drinking cold water, causing founder, and things like that. But really, there's no worry with that. And next week I'll have it. I hope I remember this right, but I'll double check myself. The horses prefer water, room temperature water.
Yes.
Anyway, so they'll actually drink it better than if you get
that's
cold.
In the winter. On the occasion, you can give them warm water, and they really suck it up. Okay. Never hose a horse with cold water, or never could put cold water over the large muscles. This person thinks it's false.
Yeah, I would agree with that. That's a good way to cool a horse.
Yeah.
Especially on their flanks and up under, you know, their underneath them, you know, up around their sheath or their udder.
Yeah.
And to help and just get you a scoop and just scoop that off. That's a really good way. Like when I've worked with endurance vets.
Yeah.
The WEG horses with the endurance vents, they just constantly put water on them, just scoop it off. That's a really good
way
to
cool a horse. Scoop it off because if you don't scoop it off, if it sits there, it can act like an insulator.
That's right. You want to get it off and get more cold water on them because that heat's going to transfer into that water.
Yeah, we used to do that.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. We had ran one down in Churchill Downs one day. And we used to put baby oil in our water, rinse water, you know. You know, it would really make them shine, you know. It took away having to groom them.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Cheating.
Cheat a little bit. You know, but you know, they would really look great. And we ran an old horse down there, and church was one of those days when it was up to about 100, and he was going a mile and eighth, something like that. And they were, when they came back after the race, they were throwing buckets of water on him, you know. You know, the help there, you know, when he went back. to before they were unsaddled, you know, take saddle off and then throw water on them, cool them down. This old boy picked up this bucket of water, you know, and threw it up on his horse and all beat it up on it. He looked in that bucket to see what was in there.
Like he was a duck.
Yeah,
right. Exactly. That's what it looked like.
That guy didn't know what the hell was going on.
Okay, the next one. Grain makes horses hotter, literally. Horses fed grain will overheat easier.
I'll go with false on that one.
Okay.
What'd they say?
The truth is that diet influences body temperature through the heat generated when foods are fermented in the large intestines. Since grains are primarily digested by enzymes in small intestines, horse-fed reasonable amounts of grain, therefore less hay, will do less large intestinal fermentation and generate less heat in the intestinal tract.
That's true. That's why in the winter you want to feed them more hay.
Yeah.
The heat. Because, you know, any chemical process like digestion is going to produce heat.
Right.
And so the heat of fermentation is higher than the heat of digestion of carbohydrates. You know, I think part of what comes into it, people say it makes them hot. It's a, they're crazier hot.
Yeah,
you know, it's how they act hot. So
yeah.
I think that causes some confusion because sometimes people say, oh, it's going to make them hot. What they really mean is they're going to be harder to handle, more so than temperature. But
just more energy.
But that is true, so that's why it's important in the winter to put more hay.
Next, only very fast hard work can cause dangerous heating. The thing says here, no, not quite. Heavy muscular activity generates more heat, but an important factor is how efficient the energy generation is. A fit horse can perform generating much less heat than the same level of work when unfit. Right.
Well,
a fat, untrained horse trotting up a long, steep hill could be more risk of overheating than a racehorse.
Yeah,
agreed?
But, I agree, because there's also, going back to endurance work, they have a scale they'll use where they take the humidity and the temperature and add those together. Mm-hmm. And whenever you add those together and it's over 90%, then the horse is more likely to overheat.
Oh.
Because with real high humidity, you think about it, there's more water in the air.
Yeah.
So the sweat can't evaporate as well.
Oh, is that the reason?
So that's why, you know, they'll call it a heat, I forget what they call it, a heat stress index, something like that. But you add them together and I think the 150, they usually, I think it's broken down by 30 degree increments where you're most at risk and all. So, if you think about it, like out here, I can't remember what day it was. When Love was training, there was a pretty hot, humid day, and you know, all the horses were a lot more lathered up than they would be. But if you watch that, when it's real humid, sweat stays on them worse.
Hmm. Yeah. Okay, I got one more.
You weren't prepared
in
for this.
In hot weather,
yeah,
you
pop
should.
Quiz. I don't
yeah.
know.
In hot, well, I'm trying to give you what she says is the answer. I just didn't know if we were going to agree with
you. You keep hiding the paper. When you ask me the question, you flip it over.
The professor's texting you.
Yeah, I need to have somebody Googling and Tennis texting me.
Okay. In hot water, you should switch from salt to an electrolyte supplement. This one says wrong, potentially dangerous. Salt is a major electrolyte lost in sweat, followed by potassium. However, the horse has a baseline requirement for salt that it's about an ounce a day, even without sweating. That needs to be met first rather than not. Here, I'm giving him my glasses.
No, that's right. The requirement's going to be about 1 to 2 ounces a day. So they were saying to the salts is what you should have at all times. And most of the electrolytes, the primary ingredient, actually when you look at electrolyte label, you want to make sure sodium chloride or salt is the first ingredient.
Right.
Because I've done some studies where we looked at that, where if you just gave them salt or if you just gave them salt plus sugar, So there have been some studies show sugar helped to increase the uptake of water along with salt.
Is that right?
But we found it didn't make much difference. Actually, giving them pure water helped to get water into the horse quicker.
Well, I've noticed. I know, of course, in the summer they sweat more, but we don't feed grain in the summer. We feed pellets from Macaulay's in the winter, and it's got salt in it.
Yeah.
So they barely touch salt blocks in the winter. They just poop on them you know, stuff like that. And they're nasty. But once we take them off that grain, we make sure that we have salt available because they need it.
All right. And horses, we always, and it's probably most true of salt, is that's their clearest drive for electrolytes. So they'll go seek it out.
Right.
You know, just like buffalo and stuff.
Yeah, the buffalo traces.
You know, they go find salt licks.
Salt licks.
So,
yeah.
So animals have a clear drive to look for sodium in the salt.
Huh.
So that's why it's important. So actually, the reason most horses won't just stay at that salt block all day is because the salt's so high. You know, it's an intake limiter. You know, they're going to get what they want, but they don't want to stay there all day. Cause,
right. Yeah.
You know, but either adding it to the feed, which everybody does, or to put an electrolyte or just that ounce of salt in there.
Yeah.
Helps.
Right. All right. Well, I'm a whole segment behind.
Oh, okay. Thank you for the info.
I got 100 on the quiz.
You got 100.
Yeah.
It's an A, of course. Yeah.
We wouldn't know if you were wrong.
Yeah, email me or text me.
I wanted to know if this person was wrong.
That's what I'm
Well, Brian, thank you. Dr. Walridge, we appreciate it.
Until you're better paid.
Well, Patty O'Prada won grade one stakes and earned over $1,721,000. He was an Eclipse Award finalist at 3. His half-sister is an Eclipse Award winner. That's untappable. She won grade one stakes and over $3.4 million. Patty O'Prada placed in the Kentucky Derby. Untappable won the Kentucky Oaks, so lots of classic performance there. It's also a sire pedigree. Patty O'Prada's by El Prado, who lists among his some 90 stakes winners such sires as Medaglia d'Oro and Kitten's Joy. Patty O'Prado ran twice at Saratoga as a two-year-old, placed in graded stakes, and it's just his second start. Then he went on to win 5 graded stakes, among them the grade one secretary, and to place in 3 grade one stakes, the Kentucky Derby, the Bluegrass Stakes, and the Joe Hurst Turf Classic Invitational. He could run on anything, dirt, grass, artificial. He also has a great pedigree. He covered 444 mares in his first season, stud. Now, keep in mind, the first crop success of such spendthrift stallions is Into Mischief, Line of David, Temple City, Warrior's Reward, and that Patty O'Prado is eligible for the Popular Breed Secure Program. Then call Des Dempsey or Brian Lyle or Mark Toothacker at 859-294-0030 and see the website at spendthriftfarm.com. Lubricim and Reborn, a couple of products that I happen to believe in. Stop charging Maria. Maria returned to races with a stakes win just up at Pimlico just the other day. Of course, she has won the Alabama and the Coaching Club of American Oaks and so forth. Is one of the many stakes winners trained by Todd Pletcher that runs on Lubricim. Been a whole, you can just, every time you see one go to the post there, you know that they're running on it. Two products that I happen to believe in, and both of them developed by Dr. Steve Alday, who's one of the nation's top veterinarians, and both are endorsed by many owners, trainers, veterinarians, and both are all natural, as a matter of fact. They are test-free. Lubricin, put it simply, sustains the integrity of joint fluid and can eliminate acid injections and so forth like that. Besides Todd Pletcher, Tony Dutrow, Jerry Hollandoffer, Mike Maker, just to name a few of them, use it. And they also have it for humans, and I use it, and it helps me. And Reborn is 100% sterile, old concentrated natural bovine colostrum. Safe, it's easy to use. Both of them are safe, as a matter of fact. You don't have to worry about them testing and going through the spit box. They're both test-free. They're both natural. Reborn is used as a dietary supplement for horses of all age, starting with foals. What it does, it strengthens the foal's immune system while it's nursing on the mare because of its high concentration of growth factors and antibodies. So can't go wrong with either product. Go to lubricin.com, lubricin.com, or Reborn, reborne.com, and to learn more about them. You can pick up both products at KBC or at Horse Sense over in Versailles. And an old friend sells the Lubricin for people. And I find it very useful. Keeps me getting out of bed early in the morning. Woke up 4:30 this morning.
I thought that was me.
Lord of mercy. Okay. But anyway, check them out. You'll be glad that you did. Well, Cowboy Cal and his first crop are side 3 stakes winners, including a Group 2 winner, plus 3 more that have placed in stakes. That's six stakes horses in his first crop. He's also sired high-class winners and major tracks from coast to coast. He didn't put you in the winner's circle. He's a multiple graded stakes winner millionaire. He's about three times champion sire Giant's Causeway. Incidentally, Giant's Causeway also led the two-year-old sire list last year. And he's an emerging sire size. The dam of Cowboy Cal, a daughter of Seeking the Gold, is a half-sister to the grade one stakes winner, to a grade one stakes winner, over $4.5 million, out of a multiple graded stakes winner. That's Hot Novel. Running Family. Cowboy Cal stands for $5,000, doing a full stands of nurses. Getting late in the season, so call and ask about possible breeding incentives. He stands at Pin Oak Stud, home also of the top sire Broken Vow and Alternation. A multiple graded stakes winner. Alternation is, he's by Distorted Humor. So call Clifford Berry and Nancy Stevens at 859-873-1420 and see the website at pinoakstud.com. Matt Howard, how's the situation going on with the teasers now?
Well, we still haven't gotten calls, so hopefully everyone is at least getting their, finding a way to get their nurse member's bread back. I bred my nurse member back last Wednesday.
Good.
With my teaser. It went well, so now we just wait and see if she's pregnant. If not, we keep going. So once again, breed your nurse bears back. If you don't have a teaser or if you need semen, contact me directly or Randy Gilbert, and we will get it set up for a fee of $150. I'll bring my teaser to Rude and Riddle. Dr. Brady Camp, who is the repro specialist there, will collect the stallion. We'll have cooled semen ready for you to come pick up that day and go breed your mare. And if you bring your nurse mare in, she will breed it for free.
Oh, wow.
So.
Sounds like a good deal.
It is.
Yeah.
You know, we're trying to help the nurse mare farms who help us.
Yeah.
So. And but I want to bring up the Preakness last week.
All right.
If I recall, I picked a long shot in there, didn't I?
You ran second.
And ran second.
Yeah.
So now in that, the Derby and the Preakness, I pick them right. So. I think we're going to have a Triple Crown winner. I'm saying it now.
Well, what are you going to try to do? Put Steve Moody out of business or something?
Hey, if the pay's right.
Lord of mercy.
He brings it up when he picks a winner, he lets you know. And how long has it been since we've heard from him?
Quite a while now.
Quite a while.
Last week, Derby.
You didn't have Derby winner.
No. What did I say? I said, I can't go for American Pharoah because he's the favorite. I think he's a great horse. Now I am going for him. Just because I remember I picked Firing Line in the Derby, and I picked the long shot, Tell of whatever, I can't remember his name now.
Frosted?
No, well, I picked Frosted in the other one too, but.
Tale of Akati's Colt.
Yeah, Tale of Akati's Colt. I can't think of the name right now. But hey, I made money on it, so.
Yeah, there you go. All right.
I
broke even.
Zero for zero.
Yeah, zero for zero. Yeah.
Well,
Jackie, you got you want to do a few announcements and then
I'd be glad to.
We'll catch up here.
Split Rock is a jumping facility out on Bryan Station Road. It's out past
Windy Corner.
Windy Corner.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you keep going. It's just down the road, and it's a really big FEI facility. They have two big shows here, one in the spring, which is going on this weekend, and one in the fall in October. And these are the riders that go to Wellington and all that kind of stuff. They're really a big deal. They're giving away about $20,000. No. They're giving away, you're not listening, $200,000. This is a big deal. So, it's this weekend, and there's a lot of fun stuff. Oh, Dutcher, give me a hug. That's your sweet boy. Anyway, three-day show jumping schedule, and it's a great thing to do if you want to go. So, if you want more information, proceeds of all sales of the jumping tour hospitality package goes to Marky Cancer. So, if you want more information, you can call. They have a website. Just Google Split Rock Jumping Kentucky, and you've got it. This is their big weekend.
Let me catch up here. May 16th at Woodbine, the Grade 3 $150,000 Marine Stakes was won by Shaman Ghost. at the 3-year-old colt, and he's by Ghost Zapper, and he was bred by Dina Springs. Shaman Ghost is 3-for-3 this year. Broke his maiden at Gulfstream in March, came right back to take an allowance race at Keenan. Then he won the Grade 3 Marine Stakes, besting 8 other 3-year-olds, among them 6 had won a place in stakes. Shaman Ghost is the 7th 2015 stakes winner by Ghost Zapper, who ranked 7th on the 2015 sire list with earners of over $3,292,000 through last Saturday. 4 of his 7 2015 stakes winners have won graded stakes. That includes Molly Morgan, winner of the Grade 1 $300,000 La Terrain Stakes at Churchill, to become her size 8th Grade 1 winner. Molly Morgan has won 4 graded stakes, 3 of them at Churchill Downs. She's earned over $882,000 and counting. Through last weekend, Ghost Zapper ranks among such sires as Distorted Humor, Malibu Moon, Kitten's Joy, Bernardini, and a host of others on the 2015 sire list. Winner of the Breeders' Cup Classic, elected to Racing's Hall of Fame, and by the elite sire Awesome Again, Ghost Zapper, stands at Edina Springs, Kentucky. For more on the stallions at Edina Springs, call Cormac Breathnock or Jack Brothers. Number over there is 859-987-1798, and see the website at edinastallions.com.
ESPN Sports Radio 1300, WLXG Lexington,
and LM Communications Broadcasting Station. LM Communications, 2014 Lexington Small Business of the Year.
Well, Creative Cause defeated every horse he ever ran against. Or to put it another way, he never saw a horse he couldn't beat. And he competed against some really high-class stakes winners, like Bodemaster, and Union Rags, and I'll Have Another, and Paintner, and Hanson, Doolahan, Take Charge Indy, Gemologist. He won Grade 1 stakes at 2, came back to win graded stakes again at 3, placed in the Classic Preakness, and he earned over $1 million. Creative Cause is by Giants Causeway, 3 times the nation's leading sire and the leading juvenile sire just last year, and he's out of the Grade 1 stakes winner and Grade 1 producer Dream of Summer, winner of more than $1,191,000. It's a $1 million pedigree. Creative Cause won Grade 1 stakes in over $1 million. His sire won Grade 1 stakes in over $1 million. His dam won Grade 1 stakes in over $1 million. The first foals by Creative Cause are yearlings. They're dynamite. You're going to love them at the sales. Stands for $15,000 live foal of Mr. and Mrs. Brad and C. Jones Airdrie Stud. See the website at airdriestud.com and remember that the Airdrie Stallions are your key to racing profit. All right, Jackie, you want
to? Oh, sure. I'll tell you what's going on at the horse park today. We're in the middle of the Kentucky Dressage Association annual spring warm-up and annual dressage show. They've combined them. It will feature U.S. Dressage Federation, United States Equestrian Federation, and International Federation of Equestrian Sports. That is the USDF, USEF, and the FEI. Introductory level tests all the way up to Grand Prix will be on para-equestrian in freestyle classes. So, if you want more information, go to KentuckyDressageAssociation.org or just go out. It's going to be a pretty day to watch all the festivities. And also, this weekend is in the covered arena, the Kentucky High School Rodeo Association and the Kentucky Junior High School Rodeo Association for the Kentucky Invitation High School Rodeo. Bareback bronc riding, saddle bronc riding, steer wrestling, tie down calf roping, bull riding, breakaway calf roping, goat tying, that's a good one, barrel racing, pole bending, and ribbon roping. Not sure what that is either. Anyway, there will be people, participants from high schools in Indiana, West Virginia, and of course Kentucky. It's the last qualifying rodeo for high school participant before the state finals. And, well, it is the state finals for the junior high kids. So, that's out in the covered arena at the horse park. Next week is a spring fling carriage drive. You could, drivers get to bring their horses to the park to practice driving for an upcoming show or recreational season, as well as get the opportunity to drive all through the park. It's really nice. Like I said, that is next Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday next week. Now, let's see. The Run Club, every Monday till September 28th between 5 or 8, It's a free activity. You can go out to the horse park and run. Runners can go out there. So that doesn't normally happen because they don't want to scare the horses. June 2nd through the 6th, the Pyramid Society, 35th Annual Egyptian Event, Stallions, King of the Nile. It's the world's, June 2 through 6, world's largest showcase of Egyptian Arabians, which are different. Some lady began importing Egyptian Arabians like in the 30s or something. I can't remember what her name was, but it's a whole separate deal. Wednesday, June 3rd through Sunday, June the 7th, at the Hunter Jumper Complex, is the Country Air Number 1 Hunter Jumper Show. It's a 5-day Hunter Jumper Show, first part of a 2-part series conducted by Country Air. It's a USEF sanctioned event. $10,000 Welcome Prix, the $50,000 George Hennessy Grand Prix, $8,000 Lowe Junior Amateur Owner Jumper Classic, and the $10,000 Children Adult Jumper Grand Prix. So go to countryair, HEIR.com for more info. Now, they had to cancel their last, they have days that you can go out and ride the cross country course and school your horses. This spring, a couple of weeks ago, they had to cancel it because the weather was so horrible. Now they're going to have it again. They've rescheduled it Saturday, June the 6th from 8 to 4:30. Actually, 8 to 4:30 is twice. It's 8 to noon and then 12:30 to 4:30. It's $35. Yeah, of course you have to have Coggins and all that stuff. But it's so much fun. I used to do that. You go out and go ride by some of these jumps that you have to stand there on your horse, sit there on your horse and look up at the jumps. You don't realize how big those suckers are till you ride by them. So that's back Saturday, June the 6th. Wednesday, June the 10th through the 14th at the Hunter Jumper Complex is Country Air Part 2, the second half of the 5-day Hunter Jumper Show. Now, this is a $10,000 half million jumper classic, $25,000 Grand Prix, $60,000 Country Air second Grand Prix, and $10,000 United States Hunter Jumper Association National Hunter Derby, which is $30,000. Oh, Festival of the Bluegrass. If you like bluegrass music, they have a butte out there.
A butte.
Thursday, June the 11th through Sunday, June the 14th. All the picking and grinning you can stand. It's 4 days. It'll be in the campground. If you want to get more information, you can go to festivalofthebluegrass.com. Now, I'm up to Pony Club Wednesday, June 17th. Is that enough? Let me see what else I got in here besides the horse park. I don't know where I got that one here.
Got Miltoby in there?
Yeah.
Milt's book?
Milt's Toby is in here somewhere. Oh, Hats Off Day is coming up. We start advertising early Saturday, June 25th is when it comes up. It's a great day. You see more things, more exhibits, more information, all kind of stuff. Giveaways. It's wonderful. But if you would like to be a sponsor, give them a call at Rude and Riddle. They'll be glad to let you do that. And Keeneland expands wagering to the Red Mile. Where is that Milt Toby thing? Milt is going to be June the 6th at Keeneland. Did I already pass it up?
The one in your grubby little fist out on it. Yeah, that.
No, that's here.
Huh?
That's,
Okay.
This here at the training center is now supplying fence materials, posts, and planks.
Yeah. And boy, they're selling it.
And I know. And pick up or deliver.
I mean, they are selling it.
They are going fast.
So you better call them.
You better call
them. They've got more on order, but they're selling it.
Yeah.
Fencing supplies.
We need some planks. Okay, it's June the 2nd. Now, what is that, next Tuesday? Not a week from Tuesday? Wait a minute, Russ, you'll see what day of the week. I thought they were on Tuesdays. Maybe I'm wrong.
The 2nd?
Yeah.
Next Saturday is the 30th. First, it'd be on Tuesday.
June 2nd.
June
That's
the
2nd.
The 2nd. The 2nd. It's on Tuesday.
Oh, yeah, it is. Well, anyway, it's June the 2nd. It's on a Tuesday. Mel Toby's going to talk about his book, Noor, A Champion Thoroughbred's Unlikely Journey from California to Kentucky. And that will be at the Keeneland Library at 6:30. It's free. It's open to the public. It's a lot of fun. We've been to most of them. Let's see.
Well, let me catch up here, Dougie.
Okay.
Blames the sire of two graded stakes when his 5 graded stakes horses in his first crop. Both of his graded stakes winners won graded stakes in New York. The 3 that have placed in graded stakes had done so at Churchill, at Del Mar, and Woodbine. So that's 5 graded stakes races, runners in his first crop. All 5 at major tracks. Eclipse Award winner Blame, winner of the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Classic and 6 other stakes, 5 graded, including Grade 1 Whitney and Grade 1 Stephen Foster, earned over $4,368,000. And he's by Arch from a sire line that's noted for classic stamina. Arch has sired 12 Grade 1 winners, 4 champions, and he's climbing the broodmare sire list. His daughters have already produced 22 stakes winners, 3 champions, plus the winner of the Kentucky Derby. Both Eclipse Award winner Blame and Arch stand at Claiborne Farm. For more on the Claiborne stallions, get in touch with Bernie Sams at 859-233-4252 and see the website at claibornefarm.com. LexHorseFarms.com, that's Hill and Reagan Parker. Real horse people. And they help real horse people find just the kind of farm that they're looking for or to sell their farm. Either way, they can do it, and they do it, and they do a heck of a job of it. He's a pretty good horseman, won another race the other day. He also trains. He was an A-level pony clubber, incidentally, and has trained winners over the flat and over the jumps and whatever. He can get it done. But they've got over 12 years' experience in real estate business, and presently they have listings, and you can go to their website. I'll give it to you in just a minute. In Fayette, Bourbon, Jesmond, Woodford, Scott, and Clark County. Outstanding variety of locations and sizes and prices. And what the Hill and Reagan can do is help you find just the perfect farm for you. Money-wise and location-wise and size-wise, they can help you. And they will keep working until they get it for you. They also, if you're selling, they will absolutely get the job done for you. I know several people that they've done a wonderful job for and swear by them because they're great people to do business with. You won't find any nicer people to do business with than Hill and Reagan Parker. I mean, they're just wonderful people, horse people, and they go to that website. Let me give you the website. It's LexHorseFarms.com. I'll give you the phone number in a minute. But they've got great, they've got a place right up here on the Parish Pike. Listen, if you were looking for a world-class farm over 463 acres, it's a premier horse farm. I mean, you walk in and you're in business. Call Hill and Reagan Parker and take it to one right out here, just still in Fayette County up here on the Parish Pike. It's a very established place. They got one over on Mount Horeb Road, over on Russell Cave Road in Bourbon County. Yeah, another place over in Paris and Versailles and, let's say, Georgetown, you name it. Sizes and shapes and absolutely everything you need, they can find it for you. And if they work real hard to find you a farm, they'll keep going until they get to just what you want. Here's a phone number. It's 859-608-8039. And here's the website. Go to it. Look it over because they've got a great website. It's LexHorseFarms.com, and that's Hill and Reagan Parker. Nice people. May 17th at Arlington Park, Tiz Gorgeous, a filly from the first crop by Tiz Deja Vu, won her first start of the year, going a mile on the grass. Last year, as a 2-year-old, she won the Pat Whitworth Illinois Debutante and ran second in the Showtime Deb Stakes after breaking her maiden at Arlington Park. May 16th at Churchill, Tiz Sensational. Another 3-year-old from the first crop by Tiz Deja Vu, one going a mile on the dirt for by four impressive lengths. Broke his maiden early in the year at Oaklawn. May 16th at Pimlico, My Team by Tis Deja Vu. Making his first start on the grass, won a maiden special. Wire-to-wire fashion, won by 2 1/4 lengths. May 8th, All That and More posted his third win from 5 career starts. He was going a mile on the grass at Golden Gate. May 15th, Deja L'Etoile by Tis Deja Vu. She'd won a maiden special at Tampa. Won going a mile on the dirt at Canterbury. April 29th, Miss Deja Vu posted her fifth win, all at Gulfstream Park, all of them on the dirt. And 3 days earlier, L.A. Magic broke her maiden sprinting on the dirt at Santa Anita. There are more, of course. Tis Deja Vu aside, 13 winners from 18 first crop starters. 13 of his 18 starters have already won. Most of them are multiple greatest stakes winners, and they're winning on dirt, they win on grass, they win sprinting, and they're sprinting, and they love two turns. Put a winner in your racing stable. Call Pope McLean or Crestwood Farm, 859-252-3770, and ask about breeding incentives and see the website at crestwoodfarm.com.
And service is Vin and Ben. That's a winning combination. Think about that the next time you ship your horse, whether it's across the county or across the country. When you load your horse into a Sally van, you can depend on the fact that the person behind the wheel is one of the best in the business. The folks at Sally Van Service wouldn't have it any other way. And that's why for more than half a century, Sally Vans has been the safest way to the winner's circle.
All righty. Well, the feature race down at Churchill today is the Louisville Handicap. I think it's... Is it grade 3 or grade 2? And I've got Steve Moody with me. He'll know. He is the author of the Kentucky Handicap Sheet, which is published by Bloodstock Research Information Services. And I know it's graded, but what is it, Steve?
It is a grade 3, Ursel, 100,000.
Okay.
And they are fast and firm down there today. And I'm just checking if there's any scratches, and there are none. Reported as of now, so going to have a field of 9 that were drawn for this mile and a half turf race, and pretty well matched group. I settled on the one horse in here who's big price on the board at 12-1. Royal Blessing. This one has gone a while since his last win, but there are quite a few that are in this race that can say the same thing. I thought that this 6-year-old sort of rebounded last time out with a better effort, and I thought if he moves forward off of that race that he's got a decent shot in here. And at 12-1, I just couldn't pass that up. So I'm going to give him a slight edge. This one got some tactical speed, and he's going for new connections today. And I think he'll be able to save some ground and early, and then be in the thick of it late, so we're going to give him the edge over Calvados, the 3 horse. This one been fairly consistent. He does do his best running in the marathon races, but he is still looking for his first U.S. win, and today could be the day for him. But he is worth a looking here at 5-1. And then the 7 horse, Extra Luck, had started 3 times this year, 1 win, 1 second, and 1 third. And probably the horse to beat in here. But like I said, a pretty wide open race. And given that, I'm going to have to go with the price here, Ursel. 12-1 on Royal Blessing. We'll go with that one, 137 in the Louisville Handicap.
You always go for the price, Steve.
Well, it's, there's...
That's where you make money, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, it's was the old Harvey Pack line. 'Twas never a man alive that made a that paid his mortgage at 3 to 5.
Yeah. Yeah. How about American Pharoah? Is he going to get it done? What do you think? How does he compare going into this, say, like the Smarty Jones and those horses?
I think he's probably right up there with Smarty Jones. You know, he's going to be a big favorite next week, even though there's, you know, going to be a well-rested group there that skipped the Preakness waiting on him. I'm still not sold on that pedigree going a mile and a half, but you know, he's got a. I think he has the best chance that we've had in a while, and certainly wouldn't surprise me if he takes to the track up there. That's kind of the thing, you know. He stayed at. Went back to Churchill. Obviously likes that track. If he takes to Belmont, then he's going to be tough. But, you know, the got Frosted waiting on him, Materiality waiting on him. There's going to be, if he's going to have to earn it, there's no question about it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'm kind of like you. I think he's got a heck of a shot, as good a shot. And it looked like it came so far. It looks like it came out of the Preakness real good. So, anyway. All right, my friend. Well, this has been Steve Moody with the author of the Kentucky Handicapper Sheet. You can pick that up on brisnet.com, BRISNET.com. And thank you so much, Steve, and we will talk to you later.
All right, Arthur.
All right. April 28th at Aqueduct, Iris Jasper by First Defense won the Bell Harbor Stakes. That same day, Dun Donnell by First Defense won the Group 2 Sprint Cup Stakes at Hong Kong. May 4th at the Curragh, Tom Belaine by First Defense won the Tetrich Stakes. May 15th at Pimlico, Iris Jasper came back to win the Grade 3 Adena Springs Miss Preakness Stakes. May 16th at Pimlico, Fame of Power by First Defense won the Sir Barton Stakes. Iris Jasper, Tom Belaine, Fame of Power are 3-year-olds, and 2 others from that crop have placed in stakes. Dun Donnell is the second millionaire by First Defense, having been preceded by the Eclipse Award winner Close Hatches. Thus, in one 18-day period, First Defense had 4 stakes winners. They won 5 stakes, including 2 graded stakes. He's just doing what was expected of him. And take note of this, the best is yet to come. The quality of mares covered by First Defense since the emergence of Millionaires, Close Hatches, and Dun Donnell, staggering. First Defense, a Grade 1 winner by Unbridled Song, and a Grade 1 winner, Honest Lady, a half-sister by Seattle Slough, the Empire Maker, Sire Pioneer of the Nile, stands for $10,000 live foal at Judmont Farm. Inquiries to Garrett O'Rourke or Aaron Fried, 859-272-7629. See the website at judmont.com. Well, the 1-2-3 finishes in the Kentucky Derby, and the 1-2 finishes in the Preakness. All received the benefits of products from Macaulay Brothers during their most important formative years on the farm. American Pharoah arrived at Vinery as a suckling, was weaned there, and stayed into his yearly year. Taylor Verve was raised at Darby Dan Farm for a breeder Charles Fifke. In other stakes, the Grade 2 Black-Eyed Susan winner, Keen Pauline, was raised by Stone Street Holdings. Commissioner, the winner of the Grade 3 Pimlico Special, was raised at Windstar Farm. The winner of the Grade 3 Marine Stakes at Woodbine, Shaman Ghost, and Holy Boss, winner of the Chick Lang Stakes at Pimlico, both were raised at Adena Springs. Santa Anita's Angel Flight Stakes winner, Fantastic Style, was bred by Dr. Chuck Kidder, Dr. Nancy Cole, and Ted Vute, and raised at Corner Woods. And Burton C. Jones is the breeder of Mr. Bowling, winner of the John Longdon 6000 Stakes. So far this year, runners raised on Macaulay products have won 69 stakes, 38 of them graded stakes, 9 grade 1. So call Mike Warren or David Longmire at 859-873-3333. Talk to them about the Macaulay products. See the website at MacaulayBros.com. And you're always welcome to stop by the office at 111 Broadway in Versailles. Macaulay Brothers, that's where it is all about the horse. Daily Racing Form, breeding edition, That comes usually out in the Sunday edition, but I'll tell you what you need to do is to log on to drf.com/breeding, and they'll get it to you throughout the week. Packed full of information, and it's just a great, as you might expect, for the Daily Racing Form. It was a great edition. This week's edition, John Sparkman's is writing about studs that were champions at both 2 and 3 and their records at stud. Steve Anderson is writing about the new home for the Barrett Sale out in California. Jay Hubday's got a column in there, and that's worth the price of the paper right there. And, of course, you've got the past performances from Churchill and Belmont and Belterra and Arlington Park and Woodbine and Monmouth and Canterbury, Gulfstream Park. That's the Daily Racing Form. It's absolutely a great, the nation's greatest paper when it comes to racing, most informative. And it's got in-depth breeding news, sales and auction coverage, and a whole lot more in that the breeding edition. So go to, once again, visit drf.com/breeding update and sign up today. Check it out, drf.com/breeding. And you'll be glad you did, because it's just a great edition of a great newspaper. All right. Well, from the Kentucky Thoroughbred Association, that's Chauncey Morris over there heading up the joints. And we're going to give you the Kentucky Breeders of Stakes winners from last weekend. And, of course, the Preakness winner, American Pharaoh, by Pioneer of the Nile, was bred by Zayat Stables. The Grade 2 Dixie Stakes at Pimlico winner, Ironicus, by Distorted Humor. And both he and Pioneer of the Nile, incidentally, stand over at Windstar Farm. And Ironicus was bred by Stuart S. Janney III, raised over at Claiborne Farm. Keen Pauline won the Grade 2 Black Eyed Susan Stakes. That's a 3-0 filly by Pulpit, bred by Stone Street Thoroughbred Holdings. The Grade 3 Maryland Sprint Handicap winner, Sandbar, by Warpass, bred by Will Farish and Gasparilla Stables. The Grade 3 Pimlico Special winner, Commissioner, by AP Indy, bred by Windstar Farm. They also own that one. The Grade 3 Distaff Stakes at Pimlico went to Stop Charging Maria. She's by Taylor the Cat. That's a classic winning filly. She's a 4-year-old now, won a pot full of money, bred by Harvey Clark and Brookdale Farm. And, of course, Taylor the Cat is at Ashford Stud. The Grade 3 Adina Springs Miss Preakness Stakes winner, Irish Jasper, by First Defense, who's in the last 18 days has sired 4 stakes winners of 5 stakes. First Defense stands at Judmont Farm, and the winner, Irish Jasper, bred by Bob and Evelyn Courtney. The Grade 3 Red Bank Stakes went to Winning Cause by John's Causeway. Of course, John's Causeway is at Ashford Stud, and he was the winner of Winning Cause, bred by Gallery of Bloodstock. The Maryland Sprint Handicap, Sandbar won that. He's by Warpass, bred by Will Farish and Gasparilla Stables. Did I give you that already? Well, you got it twice. The Sir Barton Stakes, at Pimlico went to Fame and Power. That's a 3-year-old colt by First Defense, bred by Millsack, which is a division of Judmont Farm. The James W. Murphy Stakes went to Woodwind W. He's undefeated. He's by More Than Ready, and he was bred by Runnymede Farm and Peter Callahan. The Chickland Stakes at Pimlico, Holy Boss won that by Street Boss, bred by Adina Springs. The Very One Stakes win was won by Ageless. That's a successful appeal, bred by Winkle Farms. Hinkle Farms. I had to spill some ink right on top of the W. That's the Hinkles, of course, down in Bourbon County. The Way to Wild Stakes at Belmont Park was won by Celestine. That's a 3-year-old filly by Scat Daddy. Scat Daddy, another one standing at Ashford Stud. This one bred by Phoenix Rising Farms. The Angel Fight Stakes out at Santa Anita went to Fantastic Style. That's a Harlan's Holiday, bred by Dr. Chuck Kidder, Dr. Nancy Cole, and Ted Vute. The Wild Rose Handicap at Northlands went to Rock and Glory. That's a Rock Hard 10, bred by the Mercedes Stables. The Governor's Handicap at Emerald Downs winner, Fleet Eagle, was bred by Francesca Angela de la Fleur. The Duke City Sprint Stakes Dirt Monster won that. That's a Lion of David, bred by Gaines Gentry Thoroughbreds and Hardy Thoroughbreds. The John Longdon 6,000 Stakes was won by Mr. Bowling. That's an Istan. This horse has won almost 400,000 now, a bunch of stakes. And he was bred by Brereton C. Jones. Istan, of course, stands at Airdrie Stud. And then yesterday, no, this is Monday, Tom Ridd stakes at Presque Isle. Winner, Cyclogenesis, a three-year-old colt by Stormy Atlantic, bred by Sierra Farm. And yesterday, I knew I had one from yesterday, Eustacia by Forestry, bred by Mike Abraham, won the stakes, the Chariot Chaser Handicap at Northlands Park. Well, May 14 at Churchill Downs, Fleeting Corner, mare by Inhadab, sprinted 5 furlongs on the grass and 57 flat to win an allowance optional claiming race. She didn't run for the tag. That was her 13th career victory. She's earned over $244,000. She's one of 15 individuals by Inhadab that earned $100,000 or more. Others include the multiple graded stakes winner. He also set a new track record over Churchill. Greater Good, winner of some $546,000. Hit Hard Hoof, a graded stakes winner in New York, where he also set a new track record, going 5.5 furlongs for earnings of more than $519,000. Dad Nabbit, a multiple stakes winner at Monmouth Park. He earned over $282,000. Laurentide Ice, a multiple stakes winner in New York, of some $236,000. And there are more, but you get the picture. Inhadab is sighing runners. It stands for a very modest fee, $2,000 live foal. Stands at Shadwell Farm. Inquiries to staff manager Ken Barnes, 859-224-4585. And see the website at shadwellfarm.com.
Want unlimited access to pedigree reports on more than 2 million foals for a low annual cost? Then Brisnet's American Produce Records is for you. Updated in real time and available on demand at brisnet.com/APR and optimized for tablet and mobile. The APR Online is the place for instant access to a wealth of information on North American thoroughbreds dating back more than a century. The annual price, $275. Visit brisnet.com/APR and discover why American Produce Records has been the choice of bloodstock and racing professionals for generations and why new generation is using APR Online.
Well, the nation's leading third crop sires, Pioneer of the Nile, ranked second only to Pioneer of the Nile among all third crop sires, Colonel John. And when it comes to number of winners, Colonel John's number one. Of course, both Pioneer of the Nile and Colonel John stand at Windstar Farm. Colonel John sired 29 individual winners already this year, and they win at the major tracks, and they win from coast to coast. He has also sired in his first two crops a dozen stakes horses, among them a filly that won graded stakes and placed in grade one stakes, a colt that won graded stakes at Churchill and placed in graded stakes at Keenan, Saratoga, filly that placed in grade one stakes, and wouldn't go on. Colonel John is one of 13 grade one winners by Tisnow. He won both the grade one Travers and the grade one Santa Anita Derby. And like his sire, he stands at Windstar Farm. Another son of Tisnow standing at Windstar Farm is Gemologist, whose first foals are yearlings. Gemologist won the Grade 1 Wood after winning the Grade 2 Kentucky Jockey Club Stakes at 2. That's, of course, at Churchill. And he's been popular from the get-go, covering 284 mares in his first two seasons at stud. For more on the Windstar Stallions and possible breeding incentives, call Darren Fox or Sean Tugle or Kyle Wilson at 859-873-1717. See the website, windstarfarm.com. Well, they ran in one grade one stakes this weekend, holiday weekend, and that's the Gamely at on the West Coast at Santa Anita. And Gamely, of course, was a foal of 1964 by Bull Ruler out of Gambetta by My Baboo. And she was bred by William Hagen Perry. No, excuse me, she's owned by Mr. Perry, but bred by Claiborne Farm. And J.W. Maloney was a trainer throughout his career. Her career, I'd say. She did not race as a two-year-old, but she came back as a three-year-old and was the champion three-year-old, and she was a champion four-year-old filly and the champion five-year-old mare of her year. She started out at Santa Anita, ran second in her debut at Santa Anita with Shoemaker up. Then she came back in Boca Maiden, going a mile and a 16th. Put her in a stakes race, the Goose Girl. She ran fifth in that one. Then she came back in the Railwood Stakes, also at Hollywood Park, and ran second. That was her first stakes place. It just got beat a length and a half by a filly named Forgiving. She went to the post in the Honeymoon Stakes and ran fifth. Didn't run a bad race. Just got beat 2 3/4 lengths. Put in an allowance race at Hollywood Park, and she was fourth. Then she won her first stakes. That was at Hollywood Park in July of her three-year-old year. She won the Princess Stakes under Willie Shoemaker, beating Forgiving and Fish House. Came right back with a second. Just got beat a half length in the Hollywood Oaks. And a nice filly named Americo Lady beat her. Princess Nijin ran third that day. They were going to hook up quite a bit stakes. Moved her over to Saratoga, or east to Saratoga, I say, and her first start was the 3rd of August and on the east coast at Saratoga. And she put her in, they put her in the test stakes, first division of that, and she won by 6 lengths, beating Wajico and Just Kidding. Just Kidding was by Jester. Yeah, the son of Tom Fool that had stood down at E.K. Thomas's Timberlone farm down in Paris. And then later moved over to Spendthrift Farm. And he was a pretty good kind of a racehorse. He'd won the Futurity as a two-year-old. And Tom Fool was a notorious slow breeder. And Jester was worse. As a matter of fact, after first, maybe 2 years over at Spendthrift, he just stopped breeding altogether. He just lost interest. Well, anyway, getting back to Gamely. After she won the test, they put her in the Alabama Stakes with Willie Shoemaker up, and she won. She beat Treacherous and Muse in that race. Then she moved over to Aqueduct for the Gazelle and ran fourth, got beat by Sweet Folly. And then she went to the Beldame after that, and she was third in the Beldame to a horse named Max Sparkler, was, I'm pretty sure, a Florida bred. Went to Atlantic City for the Matchmaker. She got beat 3/4 of a length by Politely and Straight Deal. Top company there. She came back in the Vinyl and Handicap. Ran third again to Straight Deal and Politely. They just switched around there. Then she went back out west at Santa Anita for the Santa Monica. Ran third in that. Amerigo Lady won that one. And the Santa Maria Handicap in January of 1968, she won, beating Princess Nijin. Came right back and won the Santa Margarita Handicap by nose, beating Princess Nijin again. Then she got beat in the Barbara Handicap, ran second to Americo's Fancy. Lady Pitt ran third that day. In the San Bernardino Handicap at Santa Anita, she ran third again to Tiltable and Model Fool. Then she moved over to Hollywood Park and won the Wilshire Handicap, beating Romanticism. Ran second in the Californian. Got beat by a pretty fair horse that day named Dr. Fager. And she was second. Rising Mark ran third. So, let's see. Dr. Fager in with 130 pounds. He was given a 14 pounds, actually 9 pounds counting a sex allowance there. Then she moved over to the Inglewood Handicap and took on the Colts again and won. They put in the Vanity Handicap Hollywood Park, they put 131 pounds on her, and she won. And won pretty handy, beating Princess Nijin. Hollywood Gold Cup, which, of course, took on the boys again. They ran 1 1/4 and 159 and 4 that day. She got beat less than 3 lengths, so she ran all right. Princess Nijin won it, so another filly won the thing. Racing Room was second. Then they sent her east again. She came over to Saratoga, first time out there. Eddie Belmonte rode her, and she won an allowance race. They put her in a Diana Handicap. She won by neck, but was disqualified and placed second, which gave the winner to Green Glade. In the Beldame, she won by nose over Politely and Americo Lady. And just got up that day. She moved over to Garden State, which was her last start of the year in an allowance race there, and she ran fourth. Came back as a 5-year-old in the Santa Monica Handicap, and she won, beating Time to Leave in Guest Room. Then she ran Out of the Money in the San Pasquale. Put her in the Santa Anita Handicap against the boys again, and no double beat her. Now, he was a nice horse. Quickentree ran third. No Double was by No Home the Second. And who No Home the Second had started out in Arkansas. And he signed No Double. No Double was later syndicated by Jimmy Dryman. And when Jimmy had Domino Stud over here, in fact, he had bought the farm and renamed it Domino Stud. And No Double, he had a hard time getting people to breed to the horse because nobody liked No Home the Second. But No Double ended up down in Florida, and he was either first or second on the sire list a couple of times. A very, very good stud horse. And but Jimmy had done very well syndicating stud horses. He had Dewan there. He had Alitab standing there at the time. He had a really top-flight horse named Grey Dawn. But anyway, that's I digress. Going back to Gamely, she ran after running second at Santa Anita Handicap. She ran third to Pink Pigeon, who was by T.V. Lark. There's a street named after her over here. I think Preston Madden probably bred Pink Pigeon. So, of course, it's out at Hamburg Place. She came back in the Gamely did in the Wilshire Handicap and won. Going 7 furlongs and 121 flat in the Californian against the boys again. No Double won it again. Then she was fourth in the Inglewood, put in a vanity handicap back against her own sex, and she ran second to Desert Law. She won three in a row then. She won an allowance race at Saratoga. She won the Diana handicap at Saratoga, beating Obia and Americo Lady. She won the Beldame. Lafitte Pinquet rode her that day. And she beat Americo Lady and Chuvie, top race. Ran second in a matchmaker in Atlantic City to Gallon Bloom, who was the champion filly that year. And she was a by Gallant Man. And then in the final start, they put her in the Vosburg Sprinting. She had just come off that Atlantic City race, going a mile in 3/16, and they put her in a 7 furlong race, and she ran eighth. But she, once again, she was close, just got beat 2.5 lengths by a really great filly named Tawee. So she was a top class at the end of her year racing season. 3 years, she'd run 41 times with 16 wins, 9 seconds, 6 thirds, and then earned $574,000. They sent her to a stud and bred her first to Round Table, and she had a stakes winner named Cellini, who was sent to England, where he won the William Hill Dewhurst Stakes, which was a Group 1 race, ran second in the National Stakes in Ireland. The Dewhurst, of course, in Great Britain. The Tetford Stakes, she won that one as a 2-year-old. It's a Grade 3, Group 3 race. The Vauxhall Trial, Group 3 race, ran second in the St. James's Palace Stakes and third in the Irish 2000 Guineas. That was her first foal. That did that, a colt named Cellini. Then she slipped twins, and the next year a foal died, and her last foal was Gambling, a Round Table filly that was unraced, but she was a stakes producer. The dam of Gamely, incidentally, was Gambetta. As I said, she was a my babu, who stood over here at Spendthrift Farm. And it's been pretty good filly. She won the Debutante Stakes as a 2-year-old, won the Susan Stakes. I think they ran that at Thistledown, the Susan. Pretty sure that's right. Ran third in Pollyanna. And in addition to Gamely, she produced Starretta, a filly by Dark Star that won 21 times, won the Colonial Handicap and the Miss Woodford Stakes, placed in several other stakes races, the Correction, the Comely, the Regret, and Edinburgh. Set a new track record at Law, going 5 furlongs and 58-4, and she was the dam of a pretty good stakes winner named Lady Brilliance, who was by Globemaster, won the filly division of the National Stallion Stakes, and was the went on to be the grand dam of a pretty good horse named Sudden Flare, who was by Robolino. Nice family. Take Your Place. Drum Top comes from that family. Gambetta was also the dam of Zona, a daughter of Naz Rula, which would make her closely bred like to Gamely, because Gamely was a granddaughter of Naz Rula. But Zona won a couple of races or two and placed in stakes at third in the Mermaid Stakes at Atlantic City. Her and she was the dam of drum top, a round table filly that raced for Susan and George Proskauer. Lovely people. What a top race, great race mare that she was. She earned pretty near $500,000 back when it was tough to do, with 17 wins and a bunch of stakes. Top siders from the same family, and it was a top female family. All right, let me give you Patty O'Prada. I want to talk about a little bit about Patty. Patty won grade one stakes and earned over $1,721,000. He was an Eclipse Award finalist as a three-year-old. His half-sister is an Eclipse Award winner, Untappable. She won grade one stakes and over $3.4 million. Patty O'Prada placed in the Kentucky Derby. Untappable won the Kentucky Oaks, so it's a classic pedigree. It's also a sire pedigree because Patty O'Prada is by El Prado, who among his some 96 winners lists such sires as Medaglia d'Oro, Kitten's Joy. Patty O'Prada ran twice at Saratoga as a two-year-old and placed in graded stakes second time out. He then went on to win five graded stakes, among them the grade one Secretary, placed in three grade one stakes, the Kentucky Derby, the Bluegrass, and the Joe Hirsch Turf Classic Invitational. He could run on anything, dirt, grass, artificial, didn't make much difference to Patty. He has a great pedigree. He's also been very popular, covered 444 mares in his first three seasons at stud. Now, you keep in mind that the first crop success of such Spencer stallions is Into Mischief, Line of David, Temple City, Warriors of War, and that Patty O'Prada is eligible for the popular Breed Secure program, and called Des Dempsey, or Brian Lyle, and Mark Toothacker over at Spencer Farm. The number of ours is 859-294-0030. Take a look at the website, SpendthriftFarm.com. Alrighty. Alright, let me give you the winners of that came out. We had 17 winners in the last week from the training center. And let me give you the names of those trainers that saddled these winners. Jesse Caudill, Don Combs, Jimmy Cargan, Hill Parker, Mike Estes, Des Fogarty, Jim Rankin, Tommy Short again, Marco Castaneda, Dale Loveland, Tommy Short again, Maria Pinzon, Tommy Short one more time. Saw Tommy over here this morning. I told him I was getting tired calling his name on the show. Pavel Matejka, Anthony Hamilton Jr., and Bobby Sturgeon. So 17 winners since last week's show, and they won at six different tracks. Indiana, Mountaineer, Belterra, Churchill Downs, Presque Isle, and out at the High Hope Steeplechase. That was a $20,000 pot won over there that Des Fogarty horse took over there. Des has ridden in the past, but I don't think he rode this one. But maybe he thinks he's getting a little long in the tooth. Stakes races this weekend, the only two stakes races today that are graded, the Nazareth Stakes, grade two up at Woodbine, and over Churchill, it's the Louisville Handicap. Monday Stakes races, let me see what's running tomorrow. Sunday at Santa Anita. Graded Stakes races at Charlie Whittingham, $200,000 race, so it's a grade two. Field of six, there's a Broken Vow Divine Oath in there. And the Celine Stakes, the grade three up at Woodbine. Then on Monday, which is Memorial Day. You know, Memorial Day used to be the 30th. That was my birthday. I shouldn't bring that up. Had too damn many of them. The Nassau Stakes, grade two at Woodbine. No, I already said it. Monday, the Gamely, the only grade one over the weekend. The Lone Star Park Handicap, grade three. The Winning Colors at Churchill's, the grade three. The Los Angeles Stakes, grade three out at Santa Anita. And the go-ahead over at Golden Gate, they're running the All-American Stakes, which is a grade three. The Gamely's drawn a field of 10. Some Moulin de Mourgan, Three Hearts, Bling Is My Thing, Fanticola, Smooth It, Geronis Dade, Electrum, Dancer Cavello, Hard Not to Like, and Queen of the Sand. So, all right, well, it's time to wrap it up. Mary Jane, thank you. Once again, you've done a lovely job down there. And Resi, you did a great job down here. And we appreciate you all listening, and we'll talk to you next week.
the crowd.